From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, Baltimore Bridge Collapse Conspiracies with Andy Polacek, and the Battlehawks home opener with Tom Swoboda, and then the Right Mind studio band, Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Oh boy, Joey. Hey, does that shirt that you're wearing, does that actually smell like dead people? Because now you say you got it from a thrift store and you're pretty sure that it was, it used to be, you know, wherever you bought it from, I mean, is dead now. Do you buy all of your shirts at the thrift stores from dead people? And the only reason I bring this up, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're playing baseball now. It's Cardinal season or whatever they want to call it. And you have a Cardinal, like a, I guess it's like a baseball jersey type thing. And it's called, what's that? What does it actually say? Because I was so nearsighted. Grandma's starting lineup, and it has a bunch of kids' names on it, or they could be adults, and little birds. And you said you bought it at a thrift store, but you're pretty sure it's from a dead guy. Now, how can you be? Do they have tags on that that say, "We assure you, it's an authentic dead guy shirt"?
Certified haunted. So don't get too close, so you may get the spirit inside you.
Is that part of their
slogan?
That's
part of it, yes.
Okay, see, that's one of the reasons I won't buy clothes from a thrift store. It's because I'm pretty sure that, you know, somebody dies and then they say, "Here, we don't want Uncle Bob's, you know, clothes anymore." And then you buy it and you're walking around in a dead guy's clothes. I mean, do you ever feel awkward about that?
Only because I always buy stuff that's way too small for some reason. I think, oh, what a good deal, 99-cent t-shirt, extra small. I think it'll stretch out, and then no, it doesn't, and then my belly button hangs out. I used to be obsessed with buying thrift store clothes. I thought it was cool. Like back in the early 2000s, that was part of my look, was thrift store clothing for school productions that I wasn't in. For schools I never even went to.
Right.
It'd be like athletic department of Fort Zumwalt or something. I thought this was so funny, but no one else thought it was interesting.
Oh, I see.
So okay. I stopped that. But some pieces I still enjoy, like this dead grandma and her dead grandson shirt, always gets people's attention. So anytime it's
Cardinals
opening day, I wear it.
Well, I thought it was from your grandma that listens to the show, and then you made it a point. No, this is somebody that's dead, and that's why I'm wearing it. So, bringing that up, going back to the Cardinals, though, I mean, are you going to go to any of the games this year and steal a bunch of their merch and go home? Because you made that a point that you go to the games on these promotional nights or days, mm-hmm. which, and don't get shot, by the way, because it's kind of dangerous down there now. And I mean, you just get the stuff, and then you don't stay for the game, and then you go home with your stuff. Now, do you have any big plans for that coming up? Do we have any coming up this weekend?
We do have two big ones coming up this weekend, and I already checked out the promotions calendar for the Cardinals and put them all on my calendar for the really good stuff. And so I asked our big boss, who's got all the season tickets, because we have a partnership here at the station with the Cardinals, so we get season tickets.
Does that mean we can play?
I think you can round the bases if you're naked, and you know, streaking's always legal in St. Louis.
Well, I usually am naked, but we can't just actually, like, I couldn't just call them up and say, "Can I play shortstop today?"
Your stats will not be recorded, and any bets that people make on FanDuel will not be counted. So there's no way for you to rig the system and make money off of this streaking situation that you're planning. I don't know what's gotten into you.
Well, you said that your belly button's hanging out from your dead guy clothes, so mm-hmm. you're getting close to it.
Mm-hmm. This weekend, the Saturday when this show airs, terrible day. It's bobblehead day.
The
worst trend that's ever happened. I hate bobbleheads. There's never been a use for bobbleheads. And these are terrible ones. No offense. I'm sure you're great. It's like Jason Isringhausen and Jose Okendo bobblehead day.
Oh, that's
who
not
the
good.
Heck has ever asked for an Isringhausen anything?
Well, I have a Stephen Hawking bobblehead.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That's really something.
In his little wheelchair? Yeah.
He is in a little wheelchair, and his head just bobbles around. You're going to love this, okay? Because Steve Templeton, right? Mm. He's part of the station here. He does all the, or one of the people that does. He's not part of the station.
He's America's weatherman.
He's America's weatherman, but he's also America's educator, okay? Because I learned some really cool terminology from old Steve. I tried to get a hold of him today, but something came up and I couldn't do it. And that's a whole nother story that I'm not allowed to talk about. But anyway, we had that big storm the other night, okay? Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about the weather and stuff on this show because then you date it. Nobody really cares. But we did have a big storm that happened. A tornado touched down. I think it was Wednesday. But get this. My wife calls me down. She says, "Check this out. Steve Templeton's showing where the tornadoes are going to spot," which happened to be right around here was one of them. They're showing the tornadoes, and he says, "Nope, that's not a tornado. That's an SLC, an SLC cloud." And I thought, wow, an SLC cloud. And he says, a scary looking cloud. Did he just say that? An SLC, that's a scientific term for scary looking cloud. And I thought he was making a joke. And I said, ha ha. And my wife looked it up. It's actually a thing. An SLC is a scary looking cloud. So I thought, well, is it like a BFT, like a big, oh, I can't say it.
A big freaking
tornado or something like that. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. But an SLC is like a scary looking. So I'm thinking all these scientific terms, I should come up with my own little abbreviations for, you know, just throughout my day and say, you know, I think you're a VSP, a very stupid person. Okay, mm-hmm. But I just call them a VSP, and it looks like I'm using some scientific, you know, terminology.
Yeah, I think dead grandma was following me the other night because I saw a scary-looking cloud, and she was probably up there saying, give me back my sweatshirt.
Exactly what you got. Now, which thrift store do you go to, like a one each time, or do you kind of like – because the wife and I, who I'm not allowed to bring up, I just did, we like frequenting several thrift stores because we kind of look at – some people like go antique shopping. We go to thrift stores because thrift stores are basically just antiques that are cheaper. Okay, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically it's all goes in the branding stuff. Like if you're going to have a garage sale, call it an estate sale because it's the same crap, but you can charge more money. And the same thing with thrift stores, okay? Am I talking too fast for that person out there that I can't keep up because there are subtitles? But thrift stores are basically just antique stores, only cheaper. So the reason I bring that up, if I've already, you know, asked you before, which particular store is this from?
This one is from one that's shut down now, probably Unique Thrift down on the Rock Road if you actually care about St. Louis history. But the one that I like the most because it smells the best, your smell really is going to judge
dead people
whether I walk out. Savers, there's a Savers on Watson, very nice selection over there, nothing too crazy price, and they have self-checkout so you don't even have to pay for anything.
Oh, wow.
You just walk right out with whatever toy that you're giving your kid for Christmas.
So you don't pay for it. I mean, you just walk out.
Oh, like, yeah, they can't fight. The people that work at thrift stores, they have no ability to run or arm wrestle or
they're
whatever.
They're bobbleheads, something like that. We got an interesting show coming up for us today. I think we do. We got Andy Polacek, who had all this dirt on the city of St. Louis that he was going to kind of expose. He's going in a different direction, though, because he wants to talk about that Baltimore bridge that fell down and why it may not have been an accident. And we also got Tom Swoboda coming in. He's going to talk about the big Battle Hawks home opener. And he's also going to tell us, a few of his favorite football movies. So that should be a fun show, don't you
think? Can you think of a single football movie off the top of your head? This is an improv game. Go. Here you go.
Lassie Come Home.
That's right. They threw the football off a cliff, and she went and chased it.
That was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll also ask Tom Swoboda about his thoughts on Vince McMahon and the XFL, because it used to be the XFL.
That's right.
But they've changed the name. It's the UFL. It merged with the USFL. And now Vince McMahon has a stink about him. He's like the most hated guy in the history of sports entertainment.
Now, I heard about that. What happened with him?
Well, it came out that he was actually
sexually molesting
some of the women that worked with him. I think he even got into some dirty fecal play with them, and then he had these sex toys that he named after different wrestlers. Like, I think there was one called The Big Show, and there was one called The Undertaker, and then there was little Macho Man over there, and there's some sick stuff that he's into. So it's good that the XFL is no longer affiliated with the UFL. And the Battlehawks, they have a clean bill of health.
Well, so the Battlehawks aren't playing with sex toys. Then.
I don't think so. Okay. We'll have to ask Tom Swoboda about
matter.
That.
In fecal matter, I mean like poop?
Well, they're playing downtown at the Dome. So, I mean, maybe around the perimeter where the people live, the underground dwellers.
I've seen fecal
the bridge
matter
people.
There. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be something. This is some inside information that we're finding out, not only from you, but we'll find it out from Tom as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll find out a lot of things when we come back. But in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, Mitch in the background. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Andy Polacek wonders if foreign adversaries are trying to systematically cripple America's infrastructure. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who isn't a conspiracy theorist, but he does wear tinfoil on his head whenever getting highlights in his hair, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, Mitch in the background. And on the line now is one of our favorite guests. It has all the inside scoops on just about everything, Andy Polacek. Andy, how are you today? Because usually you come on telling us stories about St. Louis and things. But today, I mean, first of all, you're back from Brazil, so you're a man of the world.
It was great.
But you also have these theories on that Baltimore Bridge that apparently fell down. I've said enough. I'm going to let you talk. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'll say I kind of just steal theories from other people, and then I put them through my common sense, logic, whatever's left of it, detector. And Laura Logan, by the way, who I think you all are probably familiar with, very attractive woman, who I think was used to be a progressive and then kind of got very mistreated by the establishment and got mugged with reality, as we say about, you know, what are I conservatives, like liberals, if we're mobbed by reality or something like that. Look, I'll say this about the bridge. First of all, there's a lot of theories. I've heard it from sheriffs here in Missouri that the FBI is saying that these illegal immigrants are here to cause problems. There's commandos. We've seen the ones come over that are Chinese. We've seen, you know, Arabic folks. But why are they coming to the Mexico border? Who's paying for them to do that? You know, there's all kinds of things that Gateway Pundit and other people put out there that makes things very suspicious. Look, I think a lot of people realize that it's beyond conspiracy right now that there's parts of our government that are acting against us. There's been theories I've heard from guys that used to guard at the UN that they overheard people say, when the U.S. falls, when the U.S. falls. They could go on and on about that. Yeah, you can say conspiracy theory, but look at what's going on. Look at how what we've seen the last few years, right? So on the bridge, you know, there's a few things I'll say, and I'm stealing this from someone else, just to be clear.
Sure. No, I understand.
But I think it makes sense. The first thing I'll say is, there were a bunch of lights at the top of the bridge that they said when the bridge, you know, and everybody, a lot of people know about the theory about 9/11, that third building that went down, that made no sense why that building went down. And there was all these charges that looked like it went down. Well, you know, you could see at the top when the metal buckled that there was all these explosions. And of course you had people say, oh, those were lights. Those were, you know, that was metal. Well, I talked to a metallurgy expert who's a friend of mine, who's a guy from New York City, who's in Baltimore. There's no way that happens. It might make a few sparks, but not like that. I talked to a guy who built buildings for McCarthy here in St. Louis, who is probably one of the smartest guys I know about structural things and how buildings, you know, bridges and everything like that are built. Nope, doesn't make sense. Sorry, someone's full of it. Then you have to look at what the FBI did. I'm jumping around here, but in 2 hours, they say it's not terrorism. Oh, yeah? Okay, sure. No investigation? Sure, right? Then on top of that, that bridge was a very, very important bridge in the United States from chemical, dangerous substances transporting that. Remember what's happened with those trains in the past where there was a lot of suspicion of why did they burn off that stuff in Ohio, right?
Right.
But, and so it gets into this issue of, you know, how do you cripple a country? Well, you take down its bridges, its infrastructure, you know, you take down, if you saw what you did with COVID, you make the people weak, you make the military a bunch of trainee weirdos, you know. But when you get back to the bridge issue, okay, there's safeguards in place for this kind of stuff, right? I don't know if you saw the video, but there's a video where that thing just makes a sharp turn, the lights go on and off, right? So she said it was a cyber attack, and a lot of other people said it's a cyber attack as well. But more than anything, why does the media want to move on so quickly from investigating the stuff of what's going on? Why is it just, and why does the FBI in 2 or 4 hours say it's not a terrorist attack, right?
Right.
And then you hear all these theories about, and they just cover this stuff up. They don't want to get into details of it. That's always when there's something going on that doesn't make sense.
You're right, because an insurance company is going to come in and do a thorough investigation, and I don't think they want that. And people are like, oh, this is, you know, some kind of whacked out conspiracy show, but that there's a lot when things don't add up, okay? And like you mentioned before,
someone needs to answer questions.
Right. And this wasn't like an overpass down in rural Missouri or something. This was something that transporting
very important
toxic chemicals, toxic, where now the only way they can move these chemicals are through tunnels that they need permits for and things like that. So you're really going to have things clogged up that's going to cause
bottlenecks, but also does that open the potential for more terrorism now that they're going through places they're not supposed to be going, including through residential areas?
Exactly.
Toxic chemicals.
Right. And, go ahead.
So we'll see. You know, I think the other thing is, I don't know if you heard this, but there were rumors that they had closed the bridge down before it even happened.
Oh, I did not hear that one. No, I didn't.
Yeah. And now I can't substantiate that, but I have heard that from other places as well. I have a friend in Baltimore, and he was just explaining to me the fact that, you know, that bridge is not really, it's kind of in a weird place for where the city is. It's more for, you know, for commercial traffic or trucks and things like that than anything else, which, you know, and then you saw that small one go down, relatively small in Oklahoma. And, you know, the other question, some of this that will prove this out is this just keep happening and we just play dumb. You know, like it's not a pattern. Patterns tell you everything.
Well, and again, you go back to, you know, if you're trying to bring a country down without going head to head with our military, which would be impossible, you take it apart piece by piece, you chip away from internally. Yep. For those who aren't aware of the story, because you said you were working on this audit of the city because you were talking with us about that before the holidays. Now, as far as just recap really quick what you're trying to do and where what point you're at right now.
Sure. So basically, there's a statute, I think it's 29.3, I can't remember, but it's a statute in the Missouri, you know, statutes that says that if you get, it varies, but I think it's 10% for the city amount of registered voters to approve a performance audit. The state comes in at the expense of the city, and they look at how you've spent your money over a certain time period, and I am what's called the chief petition officer if we get this done, so I can direct them where to look.
Okay.
So I can tell you there is so much innuendo about there's so many rumors and theories and people coming forward about misspent money. Somehow the city, who got $1 billion, you know, from almost $1 billion from ARP money and the, you know, the COVID money, as well as the settlement for the Rams, right, their portion of it, is they're broke. They're saying they're broke. They're freezing. Of course, this is all BS, but they are say they're freezing. There's been issues with their freezing hiring. Talking, you know, there's been issues where they haven't paid the, I think, with the firefighters or the ambulances insurance.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And the question is, where's the money gone? You know, where is it? And you can only assume one thing.
Exactly.
It's gone to their cronies or it's gone in their back pockets. And, you know, I think they are so arrogant and so stupid. The other issue is for people to look at is SLDC, which is the St. Louis Development Corporation.
But what is that? What is that again?
Billionaire.
What is that now?
It's a way for the, it's the St. Louis Development Corporation.
Okay.
They're the ones that own all the property that they never do anything with, and the money just disappears into a black hole, i.e. someone's pocket.
Right.
And I can tell you there is a billionaire, whose name I won't mention because of defamation lawsuits, although eventually someone will do it, that, now look, this is a very well-known family that's very well tied to a very large industry in the city of St. Louis, and they do a lot of public works, and maybe they bring sports teams to the city. And they are doing very corrupt things to try to steal people's properties in eminent domain. I don't know if you know about that. They did an eminent domain to take a bunch of properties in the north side. Well, that's actually focused on one person's properties, who's kind of been demonized in the past. But he, I gotta tell you, I'm not saying he's a perfect guy. A lot of times when you get very wealthy, you're not perfect. But I don't think he's the bigger enemy of the people of St. Louis. I think the people trying to steal properties in eminent domain. Here's what's happened, Todd, what I love. Decent Democrats, moderate ones, and mostly MAGA Republicans who have their eyes open are now starting to come together. And I hear these stories out in Kansas City and in Springfield as well, where people, you know, it's black folks, it's white folks, it's all kinds of folks, and, you know, people are different, but they're coming together and they're saying, if we can't end this corruption and end this inefficiency of government, what are we even arguing about? Because we're not going to have a freaking country. We're not going to have anything.
No, and we've been saying that all along. And the thing is, one of the things, again, you have the people out there, and the ones that you don't, I call passive patriots, to say, well, we'll just wait, you know, just wait until the silent majority wakes up and all this. Okay, and meanwhile, they're not doing anything. But now you're getting to the point, in my opinion, where it doesn't matter what side you're on, you're starting to feel the pain. You're actually starting, and that's what you need. You're not gonna respond or do anything proactive until you actually feel it. And I think illegals and things like that living in your backyard, and you have, you know, certain corruption,
they're going to start to figure it out.
Yeah, and now,
agreed, and that's why I think the black community is walking out the fastest because they're the ones that live in more urban areas that have to deal with some of this illegal immigrant stuff. And so, you know, I mean, I talked to a guy that was a Democrat for, I mean, I'm not going to out him here, but for, he works for the city, but he's not actually a Democrat. He voted for Trump.
Right.
He's secretive about it. And a lot of his family is too. And they're kind of scared to say anything. But at the same time, they're thinking all the stuff you and I are thinking. And they're just like, they're also thinking, you know, there's portions of the black community that basically are leeches on other portions for money. And they use racism, as we all know, as a way to kind of manipulate and control people. And when they're saying that, the Democrats or the far left or the corrupt or the globalists have a problem. Because it means people are done pointing the fingers at each other and the guns at each other and focusing on who it should really be pointed at, which is them. By the way, I love wealth. I want to be very wealthy. I think everybody does. But when you become wealthy and you become a monster, you know, and this manipulative jerk to control society for your own goals and, you know, whatever, then I don't like you. And I think we should all not like you.
No, and that's just it. I mean, I'm for capitalism. I'm for, you know, Innovation America, what everything we were built on. But I agree with you. I think we do have some people that have become, you know, the World Economic Forum, for example. I mean, a lot of these people are like something out of...
We could go on and on.
Oh, it's like something out of a Marvel movie. Like, these are the villains.
Oh, yeah. They're villains. It's Klaus Schwab. I mean, the guy is a villain out of a Marvel movie. He says it openly.
It's comical. We got a few, just a few seconds left. You got anything you'd like to add before we let you go?
The one thing I'll say is for everybody to take a look at, if you want to understand the importance of the Secretary of State and why it's actually the most important race in Missouri, you can see how a bunch of crony Republicans like Dean Plocker and, in my view, Mary Elizabeth Coleman and a whole bunch of other ones crowded into that race at the last minute, the last filing date, because what they're trying to do is dilute the vote away from some of the better candidates who are anti-election machines. Mm-hmm. This is happening in every state. They find whatever game they can to stock the deck so they can get someone in there, because the most important thing is they need to control elections. And while our elections are not as bad as they are in Colorado or Georgia or California, there is fraud in Missouri, and it's with election machines, and it's mostly in the primaries, because they know if they get the Republicans in certain areas and Democrats, they're going to control it, because whoever gets in is going to get that ticket in that area, because we're so... you could call it gerrymandering, although I'm not necessarily against it. But the point is, you control the primary, you control who gets there, you control the person. Go look at what happened. It's really amazing that they all piled in there last minute. And a lot of the ones that I think people have raised the red flag on and said, these people aren't trustworthy.
They don't care that we know anymore.
And they don't care that we know.
And again, like you said, election fraud. I mean, anything that's so obvious, such an obvious fix that it won't be fixed. There's a red flag right there. I mean, because I think it's pretty cut 100%. And dry what should be done. I've always said, you know, if you know, we all have our Social Security numbers. I mean, we're tracked every way, which way anyway. Why can't we apply something like that to voting? And that is not by any you know, Jim Crow or any of that name calling that they do.
Oh, sure.
That's just saying our number. You know, that way you're going to have legal citizens voting, and just like you do for your taxes or anything else. I think it's a no-brainer, but it doesn't give you the opportunity to cheat.
No, you're right. And I would also say, indeed, some people are against this, but I think the machines change votes. We know that. Mm-hmm. Paper ballot hand counting is the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
What you could do, to your point, is put some type of watermark on the ballot, you know, to make people feel good about that. And look, this illegal thing, I'm going to be real candid. I want all of them out. I don't care. Okay. Yeah. I don't care that some people have to get hurt. You know, that thing that happened down in Texas. I've always said, if you start letting people shoot people that steal cars, there'll be one or two dead, and then there'll be no more cars stolen. And I'm sorry for those people that had to die, but don't steal a car.
No, I agree. And that's sometimes an example is the best way of not only solving something, but preventing it happening again. Well, Andy, thanks so much for joining us. We're out of time, but
I appreciate it.
I always look forward to when you're on, and I always have a good time when you're on. So we'll look forward to next time, okay?
Me too.
All right,
my
friend.
Thank you. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Andy Polacek, boy, he was like fired up today. I hope he didn't talk too fast for some of those listeners that think the show goes too quickly.
I was looking at Andrew Polacek on Gab. That's like a conservative Twitter. On his profile, he says he's an entrepreneur, a political S disturber, and I think he is trying to disturb some S. And then I kind of got bored and read his bio a little too quickly, and it seemed like that he liked cooking people, gardening people, shooting people, and helping people. But no, I think those were separate. He likes to cook and garden and shoot guns and then helping people.
So you didn't use commas, is what
I didn't use
saying.
Commas, but then the very last thing he said was, we should be shooting more thieves and then cars will stop getting stolen. So maybe I did read it correctly. I'm not sure.
Well, that could be a conspiracy. And that's what we were talking about. Do you know the conspiracy, the whole label? Okay, that was created by the CIA back in the Kennedy administration. Oh, after the assassination, to make anybody that questioned it, it was like a crazy person label. So it was just a thing like Steve Templeton's, you know, SLC, the scary looking cloud, that, you know, basically said what it is. A conspiracy theorist is just a name that was made up by the CIA to make, you know, people that have questions look crazy. But people don't even, I mean, people look at me every day and think I'm crazy. So I don't really need a label, do I?
You know, they say that the CIA was invented back in 1947 by Harry S. Truman.
Harry S. Truman?
And that guy, he's from Missouri.
He was.
So that may tie
in. Or was he?
Why we have the most conspiracy theorists in Missouri. I mean, I know you, and yeah. I know Andy Polacek.
Well, right.
That's 100% of the people I know.
And that's his dit. And we're the biggest ones. Wow, amazing. Speaking of big, I hope we have some big wins with the Battlehawks coming up. We're going to find out when Tom Swoboda joins us. In the meantime, though, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my good friend Joey V right here, along with Mitch back there cuddling with something in the background. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We will be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, sideline coach Tom Swoboda gets us pumped up for the St. Louis Battlehawks home opener. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who got kicked off the football team for rubbing calamine lotion on his teammate's red zone, Todd Showalter.
Double right, cowboy! Set, hike!
Hey, we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background, and with us now, again, Coach Tom Swoboda, assistant of the Battle Hawks. We got the home opener coming up Saturday, which is tonight. What can we expect?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, like they used to say at Six Flags, make sure your safety belt's on.
Okay.
Keep your arms and legs inside the ride at all times. It's going to be a roller coaster. It's going to be incredible.
Really? Okay. Well, tell, I mean, can we expect a full house? I mean, have they opened the up? Because I know they only had certain seating that was open. Is the entire dome open now?
Not the entire dome. Okay. I know the 400 level behind the Battlehawk bench is open.
Okay.
You know, the lower bowl, I think, is going to be completely sold out.
Great. Okay.
So, and hey, look, it. Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, you have nothing better to do. And
sure.
Obviously, if they're listening to it, they don't have anything better
well,
to do.
Well, that's just it. That, exactly. You're right. That was a good joke. But so, you're right, yeah. Because if you're listening to The Right Mind Show, you obviously have no life and you have nothing better to do. As we can we use that for the promo?
Yeah, of course. That's going to be this week's commercial.
That's going to be this. Yeah, that's you have nothing better to do. You're listening to the show. Why not go to the Battlehawks game?
You have time. Get down there. It's a 7 o'clock start.
Okay.
You can buy a ticket for $18.
Well, they should just quit listening to the show right now and just go. That's what they should do. They should just say, "I've listened. I, you know, I've had all I can handle. I'm going to go watch the Battlehawks game." Well, now tell us as far as the team goes, though. I mean, what could we be looking for? We got old AJ, right? He's our quarterback. How's he looking this year?
I thought AJ looked really good the first game.
Okay.
I think the team overall looked really really good.
It was close.
We had the defense played great. We had two interceptions the first half. You know, it was a bend not break type of thing, and. You know, who would have expected this kid to kick a 64-yarder at the end of the game? I mean, holy cow, that was crazy.
As far as what you're doing now, I mean, you're on, you're taking care of, you're the assistant, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You're seeing stuff before, I guess, a lot of us even know what's going on. What are some of the things that happened before? I mean, what's that like? I mean, is there something you see before we actually see it on television or in the stands?
Oh, it's incredible because what I'll have is I'll have the three iPads in front of me.
Right.
Okay. Actually, it was three last year. I don't know if it's going to be three or more this year. Probably about three or four. And basically, I've got two different views on that iPad. I've got the end zone level. I got the sideline level. And you know, I'm seeing things develop, and all these plays are coming down. And when the offense comes off, you know, I'll have all those plays, offensive plays queued up that they just ran.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll sit with the offensive line coach and we'll go over his stuff. Then we'll give the receivers and the backs their stuff. And then AJ McCarron, he gets his own iPad.
Gotcha.
You know, he goes
over
that. And then when they come off, you know, when they go back on, we get the ball again. Defense comes over, we do the same thing. Give the linebackers their stuff. D backs sit with me and we give them their stuff. And, you know, we go from there.
Gotcha. Okay, so you get everybody up to speed, so to speak. So in the league, okay, how many actual teams are there?
Eight
teams in the league. So you've got – where would the Battlehawks – where would they be as far as – I mean, are they one of the top teams? Because I know they lost, but that's just one game. What are there any projections on who's supposed to be – what people are expecting this season?
You know, I will tell you that the past two champions of the USFL and the XFL – are the Arlington Renegades and the Birmingham Stallions.
Okay.
So those two are right off the top. You know, they're the two best teams because they won the championships. I think the league, just watching the games last week, it's a really very competitive league with a lot of parity. I think, you know, it's going to be anybody's game.
Okay.
I think the Battlehawks are going to be right up there. I mean, they were up there last year. They were 7-3 last year.
Right.
You know, they lost a heartbreaker the other day. So I think we're going to see some really, really good football.
Okay.
If you got a chance to watch it, it is good football.
Sure. Yeah, you know, no, what? It is. It's just like, I mean, again, you really can't tell the difference. I mean, no. I mean, and like you said on the last show, football is football.
Right.
I mean, when it gets right down to it. Well, now, this game on Saturday night, which you just said is tonight, obviously. Right. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be sending people to skip out of our show, as you mentioned, and because it already would have happened. And I've always said, Tom, when I coached, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's who scores the most points. Isn't that true? And then I tell, and then I tell the kids, go home. And if you didn't win, there's no what we say. There's no I in team, but there is in win. Now learn how to win, or else don't come back next Monday.
Yeah. Any of these sports teams, whenever the winner has to take a beating on their body, they get interviewed after the game.
Oh, I see.
And they have to say these silly cliches because they can't remember anything else because they've been concussed just a little bit.
Got it. Oh, Tom's here. He's our guest. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi. We didn't mean to forget about you.
No, there. That's okay.
No, that's all right. We sometimes do that. Next thing we know, we're sharing baking recipes. And I mean, you know, you didn't share your layer cake. We'll do that after the show. Now, you wanted to mention also, Tom, that you brought your notes, which, by the way, this is becoming a trend. You're the second guest we've had now that have brought notes. Is that because you feel you have to be prepared for this show? Because you notice Joey and I don't have any notes.
Yeah, I started thinking about it the other day. I thought, you know what, if you know, as Joey said, the concussion thing kicks in, it's right. Like, yeah, forget, you know, what I'm doing, what my name is, and,
right.
You know, this way I've got it right in front of me.
Well,
and
see, my wife sent me to that Chick-fil-A place, and I just ended up here. I mean, so I don't know what we're doing, and I don't think I got her a sandwich either. But anyway, your notes that you brought, okay, because you mentioned to me prior that you wanted to possibly, you're a movie guy, a football movie guy, and that you had some of your favorite football films that you wanted to talk about, which I thought was, you know, pretty interesting. Did you want to share some of your favorite football films with us? Because Joey and I are kind of like film aficionados too.
So, you know, I tried to watch American Underdog, not a single cartoon in it. It was borderline religious, I think. Kurt Warner was just talking about his faith and stuff. I was like, yeah, can we get to the superhero stuff?
Get to your notes in your favorite films, Tom.
So I did have a couple honorable mentions, and you mentioned American Underdog. There was no underdog in that.
Yeah.
I was waiting, the same thing as Joey. I was waiting for Underdog to come out with the cape and
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
bit. But Kurt
he
Warner
comes to save the day.
Yeah, but great story about Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
We had season tickets to the Rams, and I kept watching the movie to see if I was in the background. And I remembered, they didn't even invite me to be an extra on set, so I don't know why
I
would have
go on that site that you were talking about that Cool Fire has, so you could be like, you know, go do be a work in craft services. You should have done that.
I should have left my profile up on Staff Me Up, so when they were not filming in St. Louis, the scenes for the TWA Dome, they could have not had me in the film.
TWA Dome. Remember that, Tom?
TWA, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Trans
exactly.
World Airlines. I remember that. And now moving on. Now, what are we working backwards?
I'm going to go
backwards.
We're going to build some suspense here.
I like it.
Okay. So, number 10, Invincible.
Okay, I like that. That was a good one.
That was Wahlberg, and he was
when
the,
he was the oh the Philadelphia
Philadelphia guy
the, with yeah. Ron Popal, the guy
Vince Papale, yeah,
and he was the guy that also had like the
pocket fisherman,
and also like the food dehydrator.
Yeah,
I mean, and he sold everything, and I didn't know he played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, he was a walk on. Yeah,
unbelievable.
He was a Sandlot guy.
Yeah,
and they had an open tryout, and he went and made it. So
Dick Vermeil was the coach.
Dick Vermeil, yeah,
he didn't cry in that movie though.
No, yeah. No.
He did with his pocket fisherman. That was good. Okay, so that's number 10. Moving on to number 9.
Number 9, Little Giants.
Little Giants. I love that movie. I didn't see it. Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
I think we shrunk him and we never got him back up to size.
We can't say midget. So he wasn't a midget in that film, though, was he?
Eventually, at least in the second one.
Okay.
Honey, I shrunk up myself.
Now, okay, so Rick Moranis, football movies. Those are two things you really don't put together, do you?
You don't, but he did a good job in that one.
Okay.
That was, and Rick Moranis, you go way back to Take Off, you know.
Sure. Yeah, you know, no, he was really big. I think he's working at Chick-fil-A now, I believe. But anyway, let's go down to number 8.
Number 8, Any Given Sunday with Al Pacino.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the eyeball was in the end zone? The eyeball, guy's eyeball pops out. It's in the end zone. That was a good movie. Yeah. I like that. You know, that's the only thing that stuck with me. You know, Al Pacino, I'm the coach. you can't handle. No, that was actually Jack Nicholson.
That was Jack Nicholson.
Can't handle the truth. Was Jack Nicholson in Any Given Sunday? No, I don't think so.
No.
Number 7.
Well, number 7, Rudy.
Oh, yeah, that was a tearjerker because it was too long. I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't
leave. Yeah, yeah. All right, raise your hand if you didn't cry at Rudy.
I think I did. Well, that was he was like the Notre Dame kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a side note to that.
Okay.
The guy who actually gave up his jersey.
Right.
Can I say his name?
Sure.
Pat Sarb.
Pat Sarb. Oh, you're not allowed to say Pat Sarb. I'm
not allowed to say it.
Is it like Hamlet?
Well, he's already sent everybody home anyway because he's told them they don't
go to the game.
Don't have anything better to do. Yeah, go to the game. All right, so Pat Sarb.
Pat Sarb is the guy who gave up his jersey to Rudy.
Okay.
And Pat Sarb is a friend of mine who actually plays in my golf tournament every year. Yeah.
See? Okay, I knew this.
Shirtless Pat Sarb.
Maybe you can buy Pat's shirt at the next thrift store.
Cause I think so.
Joey buys dead people's shirts. So he's got to wait till Pat passes away before he can buy that.
Well, hopefully it's a long time.
I hope so, too. I didn't mean to make you upset.
No, it's good stuff.
Are we on six or five?
We're at number six.
Six now.
Number six, North Dallas 40.
Oh, that was Nick Nolte and Mac Davis. Yeah, remember Mac Davis? You know. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, it was good. Okay, that was a good one.
That was good. Number five, Remember the Titans.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah
right. Moving on.
All right. Number four, Brian's Song.
Oh, yeah. That's where that was that one. That was a funny movie. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in a movie because that's when Gail Sayers and Brian Piccolo. Brian Piccolo dies. He's dying of cancer. And my wife said, this isn't a comedy. And then it wasn't.
All right, we'll go on. Okay. Number three, Longest Yard, the original.
Oh, the original, because Nelly was in the second one, and that wasn't very good with Adam Sandler.
It wasn't bad. It went in a little bit more detail than the first one about why he shaved points on the game, which was interesting. But
I saw that when I was in fourth grade. My mother took me to see it. I was 9 years old, rated R movie, and my mom used to take me because my dad wouldn't go. And so she'd take me to these rated R movies, and that explains a lot. But I saw that with my mom, Burt Reynolds, and my favorite line from that, when he's talking to the secretary, he says, I love your hair. You ever find any spiders in it?
Yeah.
And your mother, she fostered that love you have today of going to prison.
Well, and that's just it.
And movies.
Movies in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about that later. But that's how, I met, actually, I didn't meet Tom in prison, but a lot of our guests I didn't meet in prison. But moving on, we have number three now?
Actually, we're at number two.
Oh, see, there's that. Number I tell two, you what, the concussion.
Yeah. All the Right Moves.
Oh,
Tom Cruise.
Okay, that was at the high school movie. That was with Leah Thompson, wasn't it?
I feel like
I should be in a trivia show or something. I could have gone on the boat and done trivia with you with all Tom's movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Or not.
Well, now, to Joey's point earlier,
Leah
Thompson in that movie eventually,
she takes her clothes off.
Takes her clothes off.
That was hot. That was back when she was kind of hot.
She was pretty hot then, yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty hot. I don't know if I'd want to see her take her clothes off right now. You want me to take my clothes off right now?
Oh, no.
Was she in Back to the Future?
She was in Back. She played the mother. God, this is like I feel like I have like the Carnival Cruise trivia bug here.
There's some sort of technology where she could, zip, and then everything goes back to not wrinkled.
Right. Jay Silverheels.
I don't know what that is.
That was Tonto.
That is Tonto. That's a great trivia question. Anytime you want to win, seriously, it could be a science question, it could be history, it could be a football question. I write in Jay Silverheels.
Yeah.
Because he played Tonto. And you knew that.
Right off the bat.
It's like we're on this wavelength. What is the number one film?
Number one for me.
Yes.
We've got to take a break. We'll be right. No.
Yeah. We'll come back. Number one for me was Everybody's All-American with Dennis Quaid and John Goodman.
Oh, yeah, John Goodman. I do remember that. And they got in a huge fight, and John Goodman threw him into the glass china cabinet.
Well, John Goodman got thrown through the glass.
See, I was making sure you were
close,
watching.
You were
that
close,
was, that was a, they were brothers, and it was kind of a tearjerker, too. Yeah.
It was an interesting story about how the guy can't really leave
the
world of football.
And how he
couldn't get past the cheering crowd and all that stuff. And it shows him aging, and it's a good story.
Well, that's like Joey and I. We can't get past the cheering crowds, but you just pointed out, but nobody's listening, unless if they do, they don't have a life.
We almost came to the show late today. There was a big crowd outside trying to stop us from recording.
I know.
We went through the back door, and now we're Now they have to
do
listen.
Do they call that, was that paparazzi or was that the restraining order people?
I don't know. The same people that got Princess Diana are coming for us. I feel like it.
You feel so?
I
well,
feel threatened.
Huh, okay.
Well, now, you know, having me on the show has increased the listeners.
You know, he's joking, but he's not.
I'm not,
I want to tell you something about Coach Tom here.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is like a social media magnet. I mean, he'll like say, I'll put out, you know, because I do our promos and
yeah.
I get, you know, maybe one person that I pay off will like give us a like. He puts on, he's going to be on the show. And it's like 5 billion people like already, oh, can't wait. You're great. You're all this and us. You, if anything, I think you should be on every show, every week, everybody here at the station, just so for the social media purposes.
Deal.
We had two different pictures for his episode. We had one with him in it where we were just, you know, up against the step and repeat wall in the studio.
Yes.
And then another one where it's just you and I sneaking onto some girl's soccer team and ladybugging it. And people love the one with him.
Ours,
almost got arrested being on the field. His just us standing in the background.
We should get arrested with Coach Tom.
I got a plan for today, yes.
And we could have all of our like mug shots, and then we would get maybe one or two likes, and he'd get like 50 billion likes, and he'd go viral.
That's the thing you always do with a podcast. You got to sell a coffee mug with your mug shot on it. That's the next progression.
Now, see, he's the marketing guy here. He comes up with these little nuggets.
But if we do that, what does it do for the probation for us?
Well, it depends on who buys. You know, our other guest, you know, he's a conspiracy guy, but he also has, he's connected to some money.
Helps us pay the fines for whatever we broke or are about to break for our photo we're going to take in about a minute.
You never know.
My mom, my dad, my buddy Biff from Cleveland. I mean,
you have a buddy Biff?
Yeah, buddy Biff from Cleveland.
Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure. You're the best. Anything
always a
pleasure. You want to add anything? Because now that you're like pretty much the featured co-host with us.
Hey, you know what? Come on out Saturday night. Watch that game.
Okay.
UFL is going to be a hell of a ride. It really is.
No, it's going to be fun. Who are they playing again?
Arlington Renegades. They are the XFL champs from last year.
Okay.
And they're a good football team.
Got a big rivalry with them. It's going to be heated. I think the fans are going to be real mouthy on Saturday. So get out there.
I had fun. Did you?
I had fun.
I had fun. I had a blast.
We all had fun. Three funs. On three. On ready. Go. Yeah.
You're supposed to say one, two, on three, and then you count to three.
I just skipped to three because I may have forgotten the first two numbers.
It threw me off.
Two. Gotcha. Okay.
Let's have fun. Just go out there and play football. I don't care what. If it's opening day at Busch Stadium on Thursday, go out there and play football.
Play football everywhere you go.
Have fun.
5 minutes later.
Joey, how you doing? I tell you what, aside from just freezing from going over to take those wonderful pictures, because every week you have these ideas for like these wonderful promo pictures we should do. And today you said, hey, let's go have a ball and stand by a giant baseball. My mouth is still frozen. And it happens to be like 20 degrees outside and we're standing next to a giant baseball at Westport, freezing our butts off. I hope you got the shot.
Yeah, I think what we'll do here is we'll put in a little sound effect from like SpongeBob or something that says 2 minutes later. Oh. We have just finished talking to Tom Sobota.
Yes, we did.
And I had this big idea of going to the Rawlings fan experience or whatever's going to be happening at the Westport Plaza.
Which I didn't even know existed.
I think they're going to have batting cages and you can build your own glove and then you can, I don't know, hit a home run off of some old lady so you feel real powerful. She'll toss you a little golf ball and you can go real far or something. And they have this gigantic Mr. Rawlings baseball out front.
Huge ball. It's a huge ball.
And I said, let's get over there. Let's take a picture in front of these balls. Let's
in
put the
snow.
Balls behind us. And yes, I think it's like 30 degrees out.
It's freezing.
People are doing the home opener today. They're tailgating all day, and they're trying to stay warm with tequila or something. It's not going to work.
I wouldn't have gone. You know, my nipples fell off. It's so cold. They just snapped right off. I couldn't believe how chilly it was.
But they're going to have the grill open at these tailgates so they can make little smokies or something, grill
little
up some
smokies.
Wieners. People are going to try and for warmth get so close to the grill that they actually fall inside. Going to be cannibals at the home opener for the Cardinals.
Little wieners with a big old ball. I mean, that didn't sound right, but it will be a huge, great attraction, I think, when it all opens up and everybody can check it out.
We're blessed to be part of the Westport renovation or whatever is happening.
It's
Seinfeld used to play here, and we're trying to get him back.
You know, I told you, I saw Jerry Seinfeld at the Westport. It was a Funny Bone. It was a Funny Bone in 1982, and he was just starting out. It was no big deal. But you know what? He did that cotton ball joke back then, and he still does it today. So I guess he hasn't written any new material in like 40 or 50 years.
He's got a Netflix movie coming out about the fake history of Pop-Tarts. This dude is so obsessed with clean comedy and food that he's made a two-hour fake movie about the history of Pop-Tarts and the Pop-Tart Wars or whatever it was.
Wow.
I don't know if we need to make one of these fake biopics about a food item that we love.
Do we grape have nuts? Grape nuts. What's the deal? There's no grapes. There's no nuts.
Is that the official food of the Right Mind Show? What are we into?
I think it's something like, it'd be goldfish crackers, I think.
Tootsie Rolls for sure.
Yeah. Well, then I eat the explosive pizza flavor goldfish crackers. Mm-hmm. That's, I kind of live on those things, actually. Yeah, crazy. Speaking of attractions, you mentioned that you went down to that crazy wax museum down on Laclede's Landing. That's still there? Is that where it's at, or is it Soulard?
It's crazy that the Laclede's Landing Wax Museum was ever open and is still open to this day. You go on Groupon sometimes and you say, surprise me, life. Let's see what happens. Let's see how bad it is.
I do that when I go downtown, period.
I think you pay $1 and then 12 people can get in free to this thing. It is the worst attraction I've ever been to in my life because of how hilariously bad of a wax museum it is. I think there's one requirement for a wax museum, right? Have famous people look like their wax figure. That's all you got to do.
Right.
There's three floors of people that look bad and they've not been dusted for decades. And then this Snow White exhibit with
Snow White
with the orgy about to break out with
an
the dwarves.
Orgy?
The Snow White was leaning over and her forehead was on the glass. She had fallen forward. No one had dusted her for decades and no one had propped her up either.
Well, are these like mannequins like you see in a department store? Or are they actual wax figures?
It's a little bit of both. And the third floor in the basement was terrible because it was just a Halloween store. Like a simple Frankenstein that you could buy off the rack at a Halloween store. They stuffed him full of pillows and said, oh, look how scary he is.
Well, now I've seen this, okay, but I've never ventured in. But you actually went into the wax museum downtown, okay, which is, kind of scary to begin with. And it's actually, so these are wax figures that don't look like anything. Now, are they famous like, St. Louis people? Like, I don't know, like that, whoever, like a homeless person or something like that? Or like,
they did have Disney's decapitated head. And
decapitated
it was
head?
Frozen, decapitated, cryogenic head was in there.
Wow.
He's a famous Missourian. I don't know if you knew about that.
I did know that. Marceline, Missouri or something like that. Way up there. It's like way up, like Northern Missouri. I was actually the cartoonist group that I used to be a part of before they kicked me out. They used to have a big Walt Disney Day thing up there, and boy, I used to look forward to it all the time, but I never went. Now, what other kind of, because so we got the giant ball now, so we got the giant baseball, we have the wax museum here. I'm trying to think of some other stuff. They have the chess museum. Okay. They have a giant chess board, I believe. Are they into big things here? What is this?
Yeah, the chess museum down in the Central West End, they actually have, I think it's either the world's largest bishop chess piece or your mom's vibrator. I forget. It's like the same shape.
It's not my mom's.
Okay.
I don't think so.
It's like 12 feet tall, and it seems like something maybe either your mom would use for pleasure or a chess piece. I can't remember which one it is.
I don't know.
Just sit right on top there.
Yeah, that could be good.
Casey, man. Illinois. You ever driven through Casey, Illinois? No one cares about this city. They have the world's largest everything there.
The world's largest everything?
They claim they got the golf tee, the world's largest pitchfork, the car key fob, a gavel, a golf driver, a rocking chair. And I drive by this sign all the time when I'm going to Indiana to see Graham. And it says, come to Casey, Illinois, and see the world's largest stupid stuff. And you know why I never pull off the road?
Because you can't see it?
You can't see it from the road.
Oh, well, see, I was right. Ding, ding.
You say you have the world's largest, but I can't see it from the highway? I don't think they understand how size works.
Oh, well, yeah, I've heard that before.
You were talking about hanging out with your cartoon group that hates you, and you're not a part of it anymore.
I was kicked out. They're all like these super liberal people.
You'd go to Disney's hometown and
Marceline.
To go see the museum. Did you ever go to Metropolis, Illinois and hang out with Superman since you are a cartoonist?
I hear it's a ball.
Yeah.
From what you said.
The only thing you can do in Metropolis, Illinois, a real podunk town, Superman and Jerry Siegel would probably just spit on that place as soon as they saw it. But there's a giant statue of Superman and people line up for hours on Superman Celebration Day so they can take their picture underneath his little nutsack.
Yeah.
You get teabagged. Obama's been teabagged by Superman.
Get out.
I swear, if you look it up.
Well, then that's worth it. Talk about somebody who deserves to be teabagged by Superman. Wow. No, I have not done that. But I did tell you where I've been. My wife and I both went to the Uranus Fudge Factory off of Highway 44.
Farty Far.
Over there. It's in the zinc. You know what I'm talking about? Farty Far. But seriously, they built this whole little shrine. I think what they did, they had a fudge place. And they said, what can we do? Let's name the town Uranus. And we'll say, make all of these, you know, second grade jokes about it. But it is really funny. Like, I bought my fudge in Uranus. Mm-hmm. I find that kind of funny. And we actually did. We bought some fudge from Uranus. Not Uranus, but Uranus off of Fire Far.
Yeah, I think my girl, when she was in college in California, there was a liquor store by her apartment. And it was Ball Liquors.
Oh.
And she sent a picture to me. She thought she was so funny.
Well, in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. they have, outside of Pittsburgh, they have a town called Beaver. Mm-hmm. And the Beaver did have a liquor store. Okay, and you know what the name of it was?
What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you put those two together, you know, there you have it.
And the Beaver Liquor.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And we had to go there to visit my wife's family, all right? And it was one of the first times I'd been with a whole extended family, and I had to make a good impression, like that was ever even going to be in the question, right? And I that's all I could think about, is that their liquor store was named after their town, which was Beaver. And they've lived there their whole life. I make this proclamation, like this giant thing that I had just discovered, which they had known their whole, and you would have thought they had never heard of this.
In Hazelwood. I grew up in Hazelwood. They had a pedicure place.
Yeah.
Nail Me Good.
I've seen mm-hmm. that. We used to go to baseball games out there at one of the ball fields when we were, like, you know, getting conned for all these baseball leagues and stuff like that. And I passed that, and I love that. What was it called? Nail Me Good.
Nail Me Good.
I like it. Yeah. Nail Me Good. Well, I've had fun. It's been a good time. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, and like I always say, remember, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.